relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
America had given me so much, and I wanted to give something back. Together with millions of hardworking patriots across this land, we built the greatest political movement in the history of our country. We also built the greatest economy in the history of the world. It was about America First because we all wanted to make America great again. We restored the principle that a nation exists to serve. Our agenda was not about right or left. It wasn't about Republican or Democrat, but about the good of a nation. And that means the whole nation.
The whole nation. That is the president's farewell address released to the nation just moments ago, explaining why he ran and that he ran for all Americans. Let's talk about the legacy he leaves us. I have with me somebody. It's her second radio interview of the day. We're just, you know, also Rans. She happens to have the same last name as me because she's my wife, Katie Gorka, who runs the Civil Society in America Dialogue Project at the Heritage Foundation's Fulner
Institute.
Fulner Institute. Follow her right now, Gorka Katie. And you're here because of this incredible document that the White House released just yesterday, the 1776 report. Let's post it on our Twitter feeds, our Facebook page. Why is this important? What is this in terms of Donald Trump's 4 years in office?
Well, going back to what you just said, this underscores that the Constitution is for all Americans. It's not just for part of the country. And that's what this document affirms. So what he did was he, you know, this came out of the growing concern over the deplorable state of our civics education, of our universities. And he pulled together a panel of just great historians and great thinkers to talk about what do we need to do? What does America represent? And what do we need to do to save it? And that's the report that came out last night.
And this committee, I think great names like Larry Schweiker are on this 1776 committee. This was a response to the project that came out of the New York Times in part and the, what is it, the 1617?
The 1619
project.
Yeah, but it's more than that. I mean, it's a response to all the terrible content that's out there that's being taught in our schools and universities, starting with Howard Zinn up to the 1619 project, including critical race theory and everything else.
So where does this rank in terms of, I mean, we could spend hours, and we will talk about this tomorrow during the inauguration, the fight against ISIS, building the wall, rebuilding the economy. You said something quite stunning before we came on air about how you see this and its ranking on the list of the president's achievements. How important is the 1776 report and the commission he created?
So I think the report is incredibly important, and I think it will have a long shelf life. I don't know what's going to happen to the commission. They're saying it's going to last for 2 years. Biden would have to actively disband it. I'd love to see that. Biden disbands the 1776 commission. Can you get any more anti-American? But I think the report itself is super important because we all know that the enemy now is inside of our borders. We're not talking about fighting ISIS abroad or communists abroad. It's here at home. And what really hasn't happened up till now, there really has not been a clear articulation of who that enemy is. We talk about the left or the radical left, or we talk about critical race theory. What this report does that I think is so important is it draws the line of continuity from those who advocated for slavery and tried to dispense with the idea of that all men are created equal. And they did so by arguing for group rights.
Wow.
Right?
The collective.
The collective. And that's what the progressives did. And that's what today's left is doing.
So this publication or the work that the commission is doing is tracing a line all the way from those who were pro-slavery all the way through the new left and to the critical race theory today?
Absolutely. That's what it does. And I think that's so important. You know, when you talk about how do you develop a strategy to fight an enemy, the first thing you have to do is define your enemy. Now, from history, many people will be familiar with George Kennan's long telegram. That was so important because it helped us understand the Russians and why they were an enemy to the United States. And that's, I think, what this document does. I think it helps us understand that the new left is totally incompatible with American constitutionalism.
For those who aren't familiar, this is a case study that I used for years when I was teaching the military, where I looked at a successful instance of how we dealt with the threat. And the best we've ever done as a nation is the Long Telegram, 1946, which was George Kennan's explication of why the Soviet Union is an existential threat. So that the why of who the enemy is, which led to Paul Nitzer's NSC 68, which was the secret plan to defeat the Soviet Union, which eventually we did under Reagan. So talk to us about the broader role of all Americans. We're in D.C. We're reading documents coming out of the White House, talking on a radio show. You're at the Heritage Foundation, the mothership of the conservative movement. If you're not a member, why not? It is a crucial organization, heritage.org. Join today. Tell us about this concept of civil society, American dialogue. Those millions who are listening live right now or catching this on a podcast, what does this mean to them, Katie? And what role could they have to bring us back to where we should be?
I think two really key areas, the culture and education. And that's what the report focuses on as well. It is critical that we get our education back on track. No more turning our kids over to schools and just trusting that they're going to be taught the right thing. And honestly, parents, no more writing checks for $60,000 or incurring massive debt to send your kids to colleges to be indoctrinated into the left. Americans have got to stand up to this and turn this around.
We just had a caller in the last segment who received an email on the PTA list to call all the parents into school for a lecture on racism and, you know, white privilege. And she wants to respond to everybody in the email and fight back, but she's afraid. What would you say to that caller and her predicament as she sees her children being indoctrinated?
I think that it's a huge dilemma. I know a lot of parents face this. I know a lot of teachers face this. You know, you can go head on, but I'm not sure that's the best way to do this. You know, I actually, before coming down here, I just sat in on a great hour-long talk on how we can do a better job of winning the culture. And part of it is tell stories.
Yes.
Find the sympathetic story and win over your audience that way. I think it's going to be more effective to go in and win people over. Get them to listen to you. Don't go in necessarily with the red meat content because people will just shut down on that.
You know, because we established a family, our children grew up in a post-communist nation. We've seen what these policies do to a community. A lot of Americans who haven't had your experience have already given up. You know, every night I get the DMs, the texts, the emails. It's over. They despair. What would you say to those Americans who looked at
the possibility of another 4 years of Donald Trump, and now they've already given up.
Well, I'm going to go back to something I learned from you, and this was back in the Obama days. You believed in Americans, and you believed that America would rise again, and it did. And I believe in the 75 million or however many voted for Trump. We've all learned a lot. We love our country. We've been woken up from our slumber. We realize that we cannot take our freedom for granted. And I have faith in that. I'm actually optimistic. I'm optimistic.
And then this idea that some have posited that you just go away into the wilderness and you create your own little isolated community, that's wrong, isn't it? We have to, more than ever, be part of the community and change it back to what it was.
100%. And the way I look at it is I think about children. I think about how terribly sad it is to think of children being indoctrinated into dysfunctional leftist thinking. And what I do, I will do because I don't want children to be subjected to that. I want them to know the beauty of our freedoms, the ideas of this country. And so I will keep fighting, and I hope everybody else will too.
I'll be there right next to you. She's Katie Gorka of the Heritage Foundation's Fuller Institute. Follow her right now, Gorka Katie on Twitter. Join the Heritage Foundation today. It truly is the bedrock of the values that we celebrate in this nation as an institution, heritage.org. And take the time, maybe during whatever's going to be happening on Capitol Hill at 12 o'clock tomorrow, just spend your time more wisely by reading the 1776 report, fresh from the White House. Get it on our Facebook page, our Twitter page, Seb Gorka on Twitter. This is America First. Next, Congresswoman Lauren Bobbitt.
ReliefFactor.com studios. This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
I really don't know how my team does it. Are they really, you know, top draw stuff? Where they find the photographs for our guests. The current one, our latest, Colorado 3's Congresswoman Laura Bobbitt. They've got her wearing her handgun in a leopard print holster. I haven't even seen a leopard print holster before. Congresswoman Bobbitt, welcome back to America First.
Thank you so much, Dr. Gorka, for having me on.
I just want to ask, I'm going to do some real journalism for once, okay? I hate the title. I'm not a journalist. I'm a radio host. I'm going to ask you the straight questions. Did you take a group of insurgents through the Capitol on a recce before they invaded that building?
Absolutely not. You know, it's really unfortunate that they've connected my family with who was in D.C. for my swearing in to the Capitol riots. It's absolutely disgusting and offensive. But, you know, I mean, the Democrats, all they know is the politics of personal destruction, and it's on full display right now.
But I'm used to it.
Out of control.
You're right, and I'm used to it. I've been through it when I was in the White House, you know. But when they attack you as a representative in Congress and say that you're in league with criminals, when in fact you've just been sworn in and you are taking your family members around, mm-hmm. haven't they crossed the line, Congresswoman?
I believe there's many lines that were crossed here, and this isn't something that I'm taking lightly, and this isn't something that I'm going to just let die off. These are serious allegations. Representative Steve Cohen has put me at risk. He's put my family at risk, my staff at risk. The disgusting, vile threats that come from the Democrat supporters. It's disgusting. But, you know, I'm here because I want to take a stand for the people. And when the Democrats see someone who stands up for their principles, they don't care if they have to lie or and make something up to drag them down. That's what they're going to do. And they want me to be distracted, go on the news and defend myself instead of talking about what really matters.
Follow this lady right now, Lauren Boebert. That's B-O-E-B-E-R-T on Twitter. Also, laurenforfreedom.com. And it's not just about you who are a true citizen politician, but the same Democrat, Steve Cohen, said that the 27,000 27,000 National Guards troops that are protecting him in D.C. are mostly white and male. Therefore, they represent a threat to this nation. Your response to that, Congresswoman?
You know, that really is one of the most offensive statements that I've ever heard. I've been here face to face with these men and women who are here to serve and protect. I have shaken their hands. I have thanked them. I have prayed with them and had conversations with them. And for him to make allegations like this, it's absolutely disgusting. And it just shows what kind of person he is. This is terrible that we have our military men and women here to serve and protect, and that he goes on the news and claims them to be a threat.
Are you concerned that this will continue, that it won't die down, and that skin color will be used against Americans under a Biden administration to simply accuse them of being guilty, providing no evidence and saying, well, you're a white male or you're a white woman, therefore you're a domestic terrorist?
The Democrats, you know, they love identity politics. You know, in the GOP, we elected 17 women freshmen.
Yes.
And none of us ran on the platform of being a woman because we don't care about identity politics. We care about the heart of the person, the determination, the passion, the love for America, the servant's heart to put the people first. And I'm really proud of the freshman class that we have. We have a lot of people who are here that are full of integrity, and they aren't afraid to speak their mind and stand up for what they believe in. And the Democrats can't stand it. They want to make examples out of us and make sure everyone knows that you can't come to D.C. and be an effective freshman. But we are going to prove that wrong. I am so excited about the people that I'm here serving with, and I don't expect the Democrats to back off of their agenda. That's all that they know. Like I said, the politics of personal destruction. My one concern is without President Trump in the White House, who are they going to blame these race issues on?
Yes, that is a very good question. When they can't bludgeon the president every single day, when he's banned from Twitter, who will they see as the boogeyman? She used the phrase servant's heart, and she has one. Congresswoman, I have to ask you this question because I get asked every single day. People call me, text me, DM me saying, what should I do? What can I do? And I always say the same thing. Have courage, speak the truth, and run for local office. And look, that's easy for me to say. I'm sitting here in a radio studio, but you've actually done it. As a small business owner, you said enough. You saw the threats to the Second Amendment. You ran and you won. Send your message to the millions of listeners and viewers you have right now that how you did it and why it's possible.
Yes, I am not a politician. I was fed up with politicians, and that's exactly why I got involved. I saw that I had an opportunity to speak up for, affect, and represent millions of people who thought just like I do. And so I took a step in faith and built a tremendous team around me, and I gave it everything I had. When someone told me I couldn't do it or told me no, I pushed through even harder. I did not wait for an invitation or permission because that invitation wasn't coming my way. I didn't climb up the political ladder like I'm supposed to. So if you're feeling that stirring on the inside of you to get involved, do it. We need people, good people who are full of integrity in every level of government. And if that's not for you, then get behind someone who is full of integrity, yes, who is running. Support good candidates. My website is laurenforfreedom.com. And right now, I have the Democrats coming after me on all sides. So I need as much support as I can get. And I know that there are many other people who are serving for the right reasons who need your help and support as well.
She's the owner of the Shooter's Grill in Rifle, Colorado. Now she's Congresswoman for Colorado 3, and she's the... I'm just reading her Twitter bio. She's the mom who told Beto, hell no, you're not taking our guns. Support her now, laurenforfreedom.com, and also Lauren Boebert on Twitter. That's B-O-E-B-E-R-T. We're out of time. One last question. It's a yes or no. Is the GOP now Donald Trump's party?
Yes. We are never going back to the old Republican Party. President Trump changed the Republican Party forevermore.
Did you hear that little giggle? She's a happy warrior! And she knows how to use that handgun. God bless. Can't wait to have you in studio. Have you on Skype next time. She's just been traveling, but she wanted to talk to you, our listeners here on America First. Keep doing what you do for freedom.com. Next, the future of social media and the dictators in Silicon Valley with the Federalists, Ben Domenech. This year marks 20 years since America's darkest day, September the 11th, 2001, and the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. Our nation's heroes, people who are willing to die for you and me, need your help. Join Tunnel to Towers on their mission to do good and help these heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's the letter T, the number 2, and the letter T.org. That's T2T.org. Thank you.
Those Americans who traveled to Syria for the purpose of joining the Islamic State, when you put all those faces and names down in one place, you had doctors, lawyers, you had people who were... who were Muslim their entire life, and some people who had just converted only months earlier. You had rich people, you had poor people, men, women of every ethnic variety. So I think that's actually common to extremist groups. Some people are very vulnerable to and drawn into that that core lie of any extremist movement, and that is exactly what we're seeing now with this particular group of Trumpers.
That was Andy McCabe, a man who was fired from the FBI for, what was the nice way they put it? A lack of earnestness with his answers to federal investigators, saying Trump supporters, just like ISIS, kind of missed that video of Trump supporters beheading U.S. citizens, but it is a pattern, deprogramming Trump supporters, according to Katie Couric, and then the language of domestic terrorism used against the members of the National Guard. Let's get a response from the founder of one of the most respective conservative organs out there. It is The Federalist, thefederalist.com, and he's Ben Domenech. Ben, welcome back to America First.
Great to be with you as always. And, you know, look, I understand that a lot of these folks would like to sweep away a half of the population. They would like to snap their fingers like Thanos and make half of Americans disappear. But they can't do that. And their frustration with their inability to do that is leading them to entertain all of these fanciful but very dangerous thoughts, I think, about the way that they go about crushing speech, restricting speech, and frankly, driving people more into dark corners of the web where we actually know that extremism can grow.
Yeah, so, I don't want us to try and psychoanalyze people at a distance, but, you know, Katie Couric, she's been around the block once or twice. These aren't people who just left high school. And when you use language such as deprogramming, Ben, do they not know that's what Maoists actually did? that's what dictatorship. I mean, is there an attempt to signal to conservatives, or are they just that ignorant?
I think we should take Andy McCabe seriously. Yes. And literally. I think that we should believe that this is not just the posturing of politicians. You're hearing it from very important people who had very important jobs in recent history, now talking about their fellow Americans as individuals who are so dangerous that they resemble the largest outpouring of Islamic terror that we've seen in recent years. And that, to me, is a sign that they don't intend to just stop at besmirching you as deplorables and the like. They intend to weaponize the federal government to the extent that they are allowed to do so against a number of Americans whose views they find objectionable. And if they can't do it via the government, if they're restricted by the Constitution or the courts, then they will get their friends in corporations, in big tech and elsewhere to do it for them. And that means, you know, restricting the ability of you to get a loan from a bank, to use credit cards, to use the very guts of the internet to form your business based on your political beliefs. And I don't think that we're that far away from that happening to a much greater degree than it ever has before. And that's going to raise a host of issues for Americans to deal with.
So when a Max Boot says that Fox needs to be canceled, needs to be deplatformed, we have to take that fascistic language seriously, Ben.
Yes. I mean, one of the things that we should keep in mind about Max Boot, of course, is that he's an incredibly unserious person. He and Jen Rubin, are two people who you should never listen to and take seriously in any way, given the level of their intelligence. But they do indicate the direction that the authoritarian left is going to head. His column calling, of course, for deplatforming Fox and other networks doesn't even do the due diligence of looking into the difference between broadcast television and cable television as a legal matter in the United States, which just shows again how serious he is. And it's really troubling to me that someone like him, bounced around as a top foreign policy advisor during the Bush years and for Mitt Romney and the like. And I think that that is an indication of how serious a lot of those people were. Rejecting them, of course, was something that President Trump did as a candidate, and I think that it served him well. But we'll see the degree to which they are able to make a comeback under this incoming Biden administration with all their terrible ideas.
I think the best that can be said of the risible figure that is Max Boot is that he helped Donald Trump get elected. We're talking to the co-founder of The Federalist. Bookmark them. We love them. TheFederalist.com. He's Ben Domenech. That's BDOMENECH. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Back with Ben after these messages.
You're listening to America First with Dr. G.
We are less than a day away from the infamous inauguration that will bring a machine politician of 47 years back to the White House as our 46th president. We have to look to the future, what that swearing in betokens for the nation. But first, I want to ask our good friend from The Federalist, Ben Domenech. Follow him, B. Domenech on Twitter. I'd like to ask our guests in the last couple of days here on America First, their response, how they deal with, how they internalize seeing two divisions of troops on the streets of Washington, D.C., more than we had even after September the 11th, and to see a city divided, a little bit like, you know, East and West Berlin during the Cold War. Is this theater that will evaporate after tomorrow's events, or is this going to do more serious damage to the renommé of our republic?
Well, I feel, unfortunately, Seb, that this is an indication not of how strong the incoming regime is, but how weak and brittle and frail it is. This is not something that enlivens any kind of respect for law and order, and the approach that is being used here is once again an indication that it doesn't really matter whether your small businesses are burning, whether your shops are robbed, whether protesters demolish the business that you worked so hard to build. What matters is when that type of riotousness or violence comes to the swamp. Because when the swamp is afraid of something, then they bring in the troops. And all the times that they rejected bringing in the troops, said it was unconscionable for Tom Cotton to even suggest that in the New York Times, heads rolled over that. And now, as soon as something like this happens, bring on the troops. Bring them in, just hundreds upon hundreds upon thousands, in order to protect the people who believe that they deserve to be protected. It, to me, is a very disappointing beginning. And again, this is Joe Biden choosing to pass on, I think, a number of steps that he could have taken to actually be a unifying political figure. If he really wanted to do what he claimed he wanted to do, he would be out there saying impeachment, especially impeachment of an outgoing president, a citizen, is wrong, yes, and we shouldn't do it. And that going down that road will only split us further. Instead, he's not touching it. He's pretending basically like it's not happening. That to me is just an indication of how unserious all of that unity talk really is. What kind of unity they want is one where 75 million Americans shut up or go away, and that's it. That's not going to happen. It's never going to happen on either side. And so that's something that we have to wrestle with as Americans.
Right. The tolerance that only tolerates those that agree with yourselves, and the left that wants the troops to come and protect them, but then says that, well, they're mostly white and male, therefore they're an insider threat to us. That is the despicable Congressman Cohen, of course. We're talking to Ben Domenech. Follow him now, B. Domenech, D-O-M-E-N-E-C-H, on Twitter, the founder of The Federalist, thefederalist.com, as the founder of a very, very successful, significant website news source. What do you predict in the next 2 years? How concerned are you? Will the market respond to fill vacuums? Will Parler get back up on its feet? Or will the blacklisting? Will you wake up one morning, Ben, and find out that you can't bank anywhere because you've been blacklisted by the American banking system? So how concerned are you as the purveyor of information that doesn't comport with a left-wing agenda?
I'm very concerned, and I'm concerned even more for places that don't have, the connections, the prominence that we do, of being shut down. If something happens to us, it's visible enough, right, that people care and they report on it. But that's not true of places that are much smaller and don't have that kind of ability. I think that we should expect a massive and sweeping crackdown within these areas of life like we've never seen before. And one of the reasons that I think we're going to see that is because this will be the Biden administration's way to effectively keep the left, their furthest left extreme flank, happy, even as they do a lot of things that otherwise would make them unhappy. Namely, they're going to put someone from the big tech world in charge of antitrust, within the Biden administration. They're going to put people who are very friendly to Wall Street, yes, in a lot of places, because they're corporatists and they're not, people who are down with kind of the class critiques of the populist left. And that's something that I think is going to frustrate them. It's also going to frustrate the far left in terms of the foreign policy that I think is going to be put in place, though I do believe it's going to be completely incoherent and an attempt to walk back a number of things that were good that happened in the last 4 years. But the point is, the way to satisfy these lefties is with woke identity politics and crushing people they don't like online. And so that's an easy way for the Biden administration to go about keeping their left flank happy, even as they cater away from, a number of the different things they'd like to see happen. Things that, frankly, many populists on the right agree with as well.
And in the last minute and a half we have, what is the correct response from our side? Do we just try to begin to build our own separate ecosystem, or do we get more robust than that?
I think it's more robust than that. I think in the early going, we can build some of the tools that are out there. I'm myself working in some areas around that, and others are as well. But the very guts, the infrastructure of the internet, that's not something you can really rebuild easily. And it's going to be a real challenge, I think, in future years. And it's why you will increasingly see, you know, targeting along the lines of what Max Boot and others have said, where they're going after not necessarily the places where you would share your content, but the very guts of the internet, trying to deny you the equivalent of water and power and use of the roads, because those can't be for you. You're an awful seditionist and purveyor of disinformation. Let's ignore the fact that we were running on the Steele dossier and the Russia hoax for years.
Yeah. Wear that badge with pride, because it means they cannot take you down on the merits of your arguments. And while we respond, make sure that you check into The Federalist every single day and follow Ben Domenech. Thank you, Ben. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, broadcasting across the nation to millions of listeners on the Salem Radio Network and also to our YouTube users. 29 million views already. If you're watching us live streaming, hit that like button today. Thank you so very much. We are broadcasting, of course, from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor. If you're in daily pain and you have found relief nowhere else, it's time you tried this incredible product that is liberating tens of thousands of Americans from their daily pain right now, me included, and also Yvonne from California. Both my husband and I are in our 70s and are so grateful to have found Relief Factor. We tried so many other solutions, but none of them have given us the freedom of being pain-free like Relief Factor. Wow. That could be you. That should be you. Order your 3-week quick starter pack right now at relieffactor.com or call 800-500-8384. That number again, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. What else have you got to lose except the pain? Do it now. Relieffactor.com.
Dr. G is in the house on America First.
I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. Look, you know me, I am a happy warrior. We all have to be happy warriors, because I think wherever you come from, whether you were born here, whether you emigrated here, Americans must have, as one of their characteristics, a positive outlook on life. How can you not, when you look at how this nation was born? Just look at the official phrase, I guess, the correlation of forces in 1775. If somebody had said that less than 2% of the colonial population is going to say enough with the tyranny, with the usurpations of unrepresentative government that King George had foisted upon us, we are going to break free and create our own republic. Yeah, right. But it was the positive spirit, it was the can-do attitude of the founding fathers of Washington, of Jefferson, of Adams, who said, it doesn't matter. It must be done. Why? Because it is the right thing to do. And that's why the founding fathers were conservatives. Because it wasn't the right thing to do because of some consensus or some transitory, fleeting, subjective view of what the right thing is. They knew it was the right thing because of objectivity. Because truth is not a function of who you are, or as they say in this city, where you sit. It is the truth. Irrespective of who you are, what you do, where you sit. And that's why they fought And that's why we must be happy warriors. It's not going to be easy, but we will win in the long run. For one special reason especially. Because the left will overreach. You can hear it in the things they are writing and saying already. When they talk about re-education, deprogramming, deplatforming, blacklists. That way leads to greater mobilization on our side. All we need is the requisite dose of courage. And I know that together we can find it. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Never give up. Never give in. And stay frosty.